See, so we're going to get started now. Welcome, everybody. My name is Alan. I work at a firm called KMD in Denmark. We are a VMware partner, but also a customer. And I'm here as a customer today, trying to say, give you my thoughts of what VMware, how we're using it, and what issues, or I prefer calling them problems, that we have or had. Perhaps giving you some solutions that you can take home to you, your company. This is a intermediate level session, but we will be covering some advanced topics also. First of all, the agenda for today. I am going to speak just a little bit about what kind of a firm KMD is. We are a hosting company dealing with outsourcing of customers also. And then what started it all, the consolidation of three data centers to one, where we have done one of these consolidation already. And then the solution, VMware, big surprise. How we did the assessment, dealing with the storage network and the virtual center consolidation. And then lastly, we'll talk a bit about iFlow. How many of you guys know what iFlow is? Oh, great. So there's some issues regarding, or problems regarding iFlow and VM environment. Lastly, who will pay? That's also one of the problems that we have. Who's going to pay for the solution if they have just one instance in a virtual environment? We are an old firm, KMD, started in 1972. We are almost 3,000 employees, also making a bit of money. We've changed focus a bit from dealing with the government, dealing with the local authorities. Now focusing also on outsourcing of customers, or insourcing if you want that, in the private sector. We also have a consulting firm. Is this better? Okay. We are a software house, developing software, trying to get people to use our software also. Also in the private sector now, dealing with all sort of different stuff. The decision was to move the two data centers to the left to Copenhagen. We decided, or the managing director decided, that this would be a good thing to do. I had to give him, he's right about that. Now we don't have to deal with the power cooling facilities in the other locations. Denmark, if you don't know where that is, I just added this slide. It's not a capital in Sweden or anything. Also, the outsourcing customers, how we were dealing with them, taking them into our company, with all the issues there is. They have individual needs, they're individual customers trying to do their stuff, do what they're good at. Now, we want still trying to administrate these individual needs. That's hard, because how do we do that? We want to make all the customers look alike, but we can't do that. They also have the individual SLAs on different systems. Now this is where ISO helps us, trying to figure out how the system should continue to work. Luckily, with products like DRS, HA, we've helped of that. Also, a little thing with low priority servers. Now, I don't know if you've had any of these low priority servers not running. The customer don't think it's a low priority server then. Maybe it's defined in the SLA, but if the customer can't use this low priority license or whatever it is, the mass calling me in the middle of the night. So that's a problem, but we've managed to solve some of these issues now with our virtual infrastructure. The solution. We actually also looked at Microsoft Virtual Server. Now, Mr. Klaus Jespersen here helped us do that from HP, trying to figure out what kind of virtual environment that we needed. We did a fair assessment between Microsoft Virtual Server versus VMware. And yes, VMware won. Now, there's a price difference, of course, no doubt about that. But with the consolidation rate that we could put on the physical host and the cost of fan capacity, fan connectivity, that added up. In this cookbook that we created, we also added some best practices for consolidation in KMD or for virtualization in KMD within our company. So basically what this does is it's a tool for service managers to bring out to the customers and say, this is how we do virtualization in KMD and consolidation. We looked briefly also at P2V tool, which we just chose to use VMware's P2V tool. It's not the best, no doubt about that. Place finish, I think it's better. The assessment. I don't know if you've seen these slides before. This is our VMware Gartner models, and yes, a couple of them, the last one. HP also, maybe. We looked at these different models and looked at them. They were fine, but this wasn't actually what we wanted to do. So we created our own, which are far better. This is a way of doing consolidation. How we think consolidation should be done in KMD. Now, it's a set of best practices for us, and it's not for you guys. If you want it, I'll send it, or it's also in the presentation material. If we go a bit closer, I don't know if you can see it. We'll try to look at the different server types that we have, that we want to consolidate, but also use in a virtual environment, in a high availability environment. Now, consolidation is much more than just virtualizing your server. It's like looking at the application, is it available for stacking, perhaps, like an IIS. Is it a clusterware solution that you could put in a high availability solution? That is what we're trying to do here with some of these bullets. The design of the solution. These requirements, I think, just like everybody else's. Secure, scalable, and a minimum of administration. If we're able to do this, minimize the administration, we're gaining some money because we don't need to hire as many guys doing administration. Especially the next point, manageable networks, is also where the Microsoft Virtual Server loses to the ESX host. It's way more easy of doing that. We also needed to monitor the environment where we chose the HP OpenView for doing that, inside the guest. Right now we're also looking at the NWorks SPI for HP for doing an overview of doing monitoring of the environment. Backup, which I'm not going to talk that much about. This is where we used TSM. We're using TSM within the virtual machine. And then we wanted to deploy a server within 20 minutes. It's down to 7 now, which is cool. The design for the hardware part, we started out with HP build 25P. Put it in 4 in each data center in Copenhagen. We have several data centers in Copenhagen where we trying to do the consolidation and high availability solution. We started out with 10 gigabytes of memory. That was too little. So now we added 16, where we probably also would put 20 gigs in the servers. They don't use any CPU. CPU is like nothing but memory and I/O, especially I/O also, because we do have some Oracle servers running in a HA cluster. We're required of planning to set up 32 extra servers now. We already added some more. This slide is a month old or something like that. Now we're running, we have 15 hosts right now. It's the same with the storage. Instead of these 300 gigs volume, we're now up to, I think it's 6 terabytes of storage right now. Yes? The farm's going to be larger. We haven't really decided that yet.
Bigger than four,
yeah. Yeah. When you're talking disaster recovery and high availability, it makes sense to build them larger. Yeah, you're right, too. The networking part is also a big issue. Networking, and especially when you're talking HA, DRS. You need to make sure that the network's really consistent and it's floating correctly between you, especially when you're talking DRS, that's for sure.
Question on the network.
Yeah?
So you have admin net and production net and vMotion. So you had a dedicated network for vMotion?
Yes, we do. In ESX3, we are able to use, well, the same networks, but we've decided to separate this out. We'll see later on how or why we did that. If you could use the microphone, I've been asked to say that when you're asking questions. The storage design. We're using symmetric storage, which is not the most cost effective, but in a high availability solution, it's the best. No doubt about that, I think. We are able to use to get an entire data center down and still having the data replicated between the two sites. And together with VMFS, it's definitely one of the best file systems that you can run your system on. Also, yes? No, we didn't. The question was, did we evaluate any other SAN solutions? And no, we did not. We called a storage guy, told them what we needed, and they just pointed at that. Yes? Yes. The two data centers are located rather near in Copenhagen, so. It's different machine rooms, yeah. Yeah. In our disaster clients, they're defined as two separate data centers, but they're located rather near each other. So we don't want any floods or something like that. Yes, sir?
What size one did the storage guys end up giving you?
I'll get back to that.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's the big issue.
Yes, it is.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yes, 300 gigs.
Good. Hard one to get 14, so we're telling you something
special. No, you get them in chunks of 13 gigs, I think. We chose the 300 gigs because we wanted to add database servers into them. We wanted to add all sort of I/O heavy machines. Even that, in a high-performance system like in the AMC, it's too big. If you have heavy I/O servers, no, you shouldn't. You should go way down. That's my feeling. Yes?
Maybe
VMFS
instead of raw.
For database servers. we started adding several LUN for each partition in a database cell. So you have the archive in separate LUN, and you have your database in separate LUN. That's definitely a thing you could do to use RAW. But I don't think there's any big performance issues regarding using LUN or using DNFS. Of course, there's some. No. No. We still are using even on this in the database service now. We're using a DNFS partition. It's getting it consistent between all the servers. That's probably the reason why, I think. Of course, also we have a lot of tests and development servers.
Yeah.
And because of the issue with schedule reservations, you wouldn't make it too big, putting too many VMFS partitions in. Now, of course, we're not having production tests in the same VMFS. So that's crazy doing that. Any questions regarding storage? Between 10 and 15. Yeah. But it's normally the customers need a bigger D drive or something like that, and of course you can't have that many. The networking part. Well, perhaps I should say for high availability, mirroring your storage is definitely one of the things you want to do. It adds some variability, some value to your system, especially when you're talking HA, DRS. Some of the problems that we have had with configuring this system, especially in a HA environment, was to take the responsibility of defining ports in a switch, in a Cisco switches. Taking this responsibility from the networking guys was not that easy. Also learning then the anatomy of the ESX or how it's working. When we're talking HA, you need to make sure that you can roll between the different data centers. With the VLAN tagging, VST, how many of you guys know about that? Okay. VST is a way of adding several networks to the same physical port. This adds the ability to serve different clients on the same physical port. And that way you're able to use a relatively small farm to support a lot of customers, making it more cost effective. That's what we're trying to do here. The 802.1Q is a cool thing to say. When you're in the VM up here, when you go down through the ESX kernel, you're getting a stamp on your package. It's like an address. The server sends the package out on the network. When you receive the package again, it removes the stamp and presents it to the client or to the virtual instance. That way, we're able to use a lot of networks. We have actually 30 VLANs connected to the same virtual network. So we're able to supply a lot of customers to the same ESX in a secure way. This here is running on layer 2 in what you call the OSHI model. It's very low and very, very fast also. It does add some delay to your network. But this way you're able to have a lot of customers connecting to your server. We also had to make sure that we had a dedicated gigabit connection for doing vMotion between our data centers. Well, the first answer I got from the networking guys was that I just should pull a cable, which wasn't that good. Now we got the configuration up and running. But you really need to make sure that it's not any sort of shared connection that you have. It has to be a dedicated connection. Otherwise, you'll end up having all sorts of problems doing vMotion, especially when you're also doing distributed resource scheduling on all over the data center. And then we have the administration net, which actually isn't a gigabit net, just 100 megabits. And then we have KMD internal LANs, which we also serve. That's why we started up separating the two farms, putting 8 or 4 server in one and 4 server in the other farm. We needed to separate the vMotion net within these two farms. That was a requirement from the network department, so we wouldn't be able to do vMotion between these two nets, which you really can't do, but they were happy. So we'll start then. Also, network load, was that an issue? We haven't seen that yet. Now we are running, like, on some servers we're up to 16 guests. And if you have a gigabit connection, where you bond two NICs, have 2 gigs out, this is definitely no problem. I think the bottleneck here is the fan. Also broadcast traffic. As I said, we have 30 VLANs attached to a single host, attached on a trunk port. Now, will broadcast traffic be an issue there? We did some measurements and it doesn't look like it's any problem. But it depends on how well segmented your network is. If it's running a class A network, I don't know, it could be an issue. We spoke with the networking department. What's the uptime on this configuration? If they could give us any guarantees. Guarantees is hard to get in this IT world. But we are somewhere about 99.95 or something like that running now. So if your SLA is defined that you need to be 99.99, you will. Right now we have 100% of this, but we won't have it that always, no. Also in this configuration we are able to use Windows load balancing for high availability on our IIS servers. We're also able to do cluster across boxes, which we are testing right now. And then the last one there, cluster between a physical and a virtual machine, which I think we're going to take advantage of. It's together with DRS, now you have this big monster of a virtual machine sleeping on one of your hosts. Now, as the physical machine fails and the cluster solution rolls over, DRS helps you moves the other VMs away. So it's really cost effective when you're doing this way. We haven't tested it yet, but as far as I can read, it's working. I know there's some issues regarding Microsoft Cluster Service, yeah. Veritas, no, we're not. With the Microsoft, yeah. Right now. But we are also looking at Veritas, because there are some unknown or some known issues regarding running a Microsoft Cluster Service. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we haven't tested it yet, but yeah. The virtual center configuration. It is running as a virtual guest right now. Mostly because when I talk to customers, I say, well, even the managed platform is running as a virtual guest. Look, this is so stable. But there are some issues. Oh, problems first. in this configuration. But with the HA solution, if the physical box breaks down, we always have access to it. That's the thought of it, of course. As a guest. It's also put in there. Server-based. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And by doing so, that means both physically kind of don't have to do a clustering solution there.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. We have the 14 days grace period.
Exactly. Oh, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And hope so. Do they?
Yes.
Also in E6.3? I don't think so. Yeah? That's not what I've heard from Danish guys. I don't know. It makes sense to put it here. No, not the SQL database. No. You need, that depends on the load on the SQL database, of course. We put the SQL database on a SQL cluster. The HN and DOS, it started out from the storage configuration, which we could see wasn't good. So we needed to change that to the network configuration. That's definitely the way to do it for us. Yeah? But HA kicks in here. HA doesn't rely on the virtual center being up and running. If you're configuring the agent on the ESX host, and ESX host monitors the guest, it's not the virtual center watching over. I think so. Yeah, it is. Now, the HA and DRS reflects the configuration, looking at DRS and hosts. Now, if you switch to virtual machines, we've defined it as a per division and per department scale. So the different departments know which VMs to work on when they log into the virtual machines with them. Also, we're defining the access control list, of course. So they have to make sure that nobody gets too much access in the data center, in the virtual machines. Lastly, resource management, DRS, resource pools, and stuff like that. As a server administrator, I really can't say which VMs are more important than others. All my customers are equal to me. Now, of course, someday we will be using resource pools, no doubt about that. But right now, it's not my job to go in and say, these servers are more important than these. Of course, we have some test and development servers. That's another issue. But I have to make sure that the resources are in the DRS cluster. And luckily, with DRS, we're able to bounce it around easily. We also have some super admins defined in our virtual center. Some super admins, some admins, and some users. The reason for this is that when you're dealing with the virtual infrastructure, you really should be careful what you do, giving access to storage configuration, network configuration. You only want the guys to do this who knows about the system. The admins are able to create VMs. Now this is going to be put out to our help desk organization in some time. So they won't even call our department. We just have to make sure that it's running within the organization. And lastly, we have the users, just using the virtual center for KVM access, CD-ROM, floppy, so on. Not yet. We're actually giving them access to the virtual center with the virtual VI client. Yeah. Yeah. But. Well, not yet. But it's definitely a solution. But people and web applications, it's a Java. We're using the template feature and a customization template to roll out servers. We have a rather large library now, which has Oracle servers, default servers also, defined to get all these different products installed. We also need to make sure it gets registered in the CMDB database. We'll get back to that later. The TNT, or the network department, came up with the idea of creating a shared services solution. There are some, high available. I don't know about that, but it's a secure way of getting access to, for instance, SMS, getting access to system surveillance. These are some small segmented networks which the network department can open access to, giving us access to. And especially when you're having a VM environment with a lot of different subnets, well, you want to give them access to some secured resources, so you don't have to create an enterprise solution for each customer that you get in on your solution. So that's the idea of using the shared service. And I think we have like 10 different solutions now. Yes? Yes, well. When you buy a server, you get all these features out of the box. It's also a way of minimizing our administration because we know when you need antivirus, just pull down the antivirus package through your SMS or whatever. Isolino virtualized environment. Especially the CMDB gave us some problems. I called the configuration manager and said that I've introduced a new product called DRS and HA, where we dynamically move virtual guests between data centers. And he started to shake a bit. But we came in with the idea of using the virtual center as a child to the virtual guest. That way, we're able to see in which virtual center does this guest rely. We do have several virtual centers, but that's another issue. Yeah?
IDL?
ITO. It's a set of guidelines for doing IT service management. And I think everybody should use them. It's hard to implement, no doubt about that. But if library something, yeah. Yeah. It's an open framework for doing IT business. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not that different. We just add the CI, the virtual center in between of the operating system and the physical host. That way we get a way of seeing how the system is put together. So it's by using the virtual center that we're able to do this. And it's a manual registration right now. Not going so good. We are looking at different automated ways of doing it. HP OpenView can actually help us with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have a list about things that we're allowed to do when without affecting a service. And I added the motion to this list. So yeah, the list of pre-approved changes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the whole idea of making sure that you can do that, and you're allowed to do it. Also, the SLAs, they're always defining the minimum required uptime, or the required uptime for a new product. Now, we've attached the SLA to the instance, not the physical box. So it's the instance, we know when that breaks, or it's not replying ping surveillance or HPO view surveillance, then we know what the SLA is and we can react about that. There's a lot of different processes that can help you with this, but it's something that you need to know when you're dealing with this. But it's like in the physical world, there's no change about that. Incident management, yes, it's always the new product that fails. And we have seen some issues, but no problems. I'm dealing with problems. Of course, it's partly not true, because normally you'll see that the product is working. It is a network configuration issue, maybe. Making sure the ports are defined correctly in your switch, for instance. Yeah. And also the change management. Now, if you're doing maintenance on a Cisco box, what effect does that have for my environment? Well, am I able just to remotion the clients or the virtual guests to another box? Is that enough for the change manager to be satisfied about that? That's also some issues that you need to deal with. I added some more different services that you also should be aware of. What effects does the virtual environment have on these different service delivery? Now, especially the continuity management and availability management is two of the important things here. Yes? Yeah. How do with the monitoring part of it? Yeah. 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 Network access. That's a good start to say if a given server is up and running. And using HPO view within the client, within the virtual machine, that has the ability to check for the guest if the guest is running, even in what kind of data center they're running. So when you add that into your virtual guest, making sure the guest is running, the connectivity is there, then I'm satisfied about that. Yeah. Alerting. Still using HPO view to doing that, making sure it's configured with the right set of rules, the SPI as it's called in HPO view, making sure that it's checking that also. Does that answer to your question? It's the HPO view that we use. And we're able to, because of the shared services, we're able to check that. All the way over the 30 VLANs or 35, whatever it is. Lastly, this is an issue which we haven't solved yet. So if you know any good solutions, please let me know. especially for our hosting customers. Now, getting this high availability on top of the entire system, doing vMotion between data centers, being able to migrate using DRS HA, of course the customer has to pay. We also want to use the launch on the best way as possible, maximizing the use of them. Also, is the virtual guest using more CPU or are they using more memory than others? Which one should pay? Should it be a monthly fee and so on? And of course, we need to get this into SAP. What it is?
Yeah, I know what it is, but are you running SAP?
No. Not yet. I just got called to a meeting here yesterday regarding that. So that gives us also some problems. It gives me some problems doing this. Yes, questions? The networking department has defined the net to be on each boxes within. It's a redundant Cisco environment. They are across the data center, yeah. So we don't have to change IP address. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, to make sure of that, we're using the symmetric storage, replicating between the two data centers.
Right.
It's actually the director, I think it's called, who managed that, making sure that if you write to one LAN, it's also being typed over to it's being written to the other data center. That way we all have consistency between the two data centers. Of course, if a particular VM goes down, we have a backup solution. That would be the issue.
Right.
Yeah, if the synchronization goes wrong, well, I don't want to think about that solution, but that issue. Oh, that's a problem if it does that. That wraps up this session. Thank you for listening.